Thank you, Michael, and good afternoon, everybody. So many of you turned up, and I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see you all here. It's a very special day. And so, as we wait for the image there, I thought to myself, how can I approach this topic again? And I decided that really the question is, who are we looking for? We know it happened. We know it happened. But what are we expecting? What are we expecting from that event so long ago? And in fact, I'll take you back a long time ago. I'll take you back, if you want to understand the meaning of the Nativity at all, I'm going to take you back some 6,000 years. In the Garden of Eden, whatever it looked like, there was a serpent. You read the story perhaps already many times in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And there was an ensuing, what shall I say, dialogue between God and the serpent. Of course, it wasn't the serpent that God was really speaking to. It was, of course, the one who controlled the serpent. And here, in one statement, Genesis 3:15, you have the whole of the gospel. You really have. If you understand this text, you already understand 50% of the Bible. It's that important. And so what happened, we call it, in fact, it's been called the proto-evangelism. And here is the reason, what we should be looking for and why he actually came. I will put enmity between you and the woman. This is God speaking to the enemy of souls, who thought he had this planet now under his control. And there, for the first time, Satan hears about the plan of salvation. He actually hears about the birth of Christ. I will put enmity, God says, between you and the woman. At this very point, after the fall, both the woman and the man have defaulted, they have sinned and fallen short. There is no enmity between them and the enemy of souls. He has them in his power. But he says that he, God, will put enmity between the woman and Satan. And if you keep on going, between your seed and her seed. Now, folks, if you look at this single text here, it is obviously a reflection of the warfare that we are talking about, the great controversy between Satan and Christ. Because that was a highlight, the Nativity was the highlight, one of the major highlights of that great controversy. Satan could not believe that God would become man. But he did. Now, and between your seed and her seed. Now, in the Hebrew, the word seed in the singular can also mean posterity. But I've pored over this verse many, many times. And I can assure you that the translation as we have it, they're in your Bible, your King James and the New King James, are very good. He, the seed of the woman. Notice. Because if you want to know who was born, this is the one. He shall bruise your head. In fact, the word shuv also means crush. The one that was going to come from the woman was going to crush the head of Satan. Now, that's interesting. That word there, rosh, means head. You know what it also means? It means poison. Get it? Poison. So what God is saying is that the one that was to come through the woman, the one that was going to be born the human way, would actually crush all his poison. He is going to defeat him. Totally. Absolutely. That is the statement. and you shall bruise his heel. You know, the physical reality found place there at Calvary. 31 AD, when they drove that single nail through the two heel bones of our Lord and Savior. So that's what he did. It also is an expression of a cowardly attack. If you study your Gospels and then start thinking and meditating what they threw at him, what they didn't throw at him. Satan left nothing, absolutely nothing untouched, untried. And so that is what he was able to, but you know, Satan was defeated. Morally, from a justice point of view, he was absolutely, absolutely defeated at Calvary. Now chapter 4. Why do I go to the early chapters? Because the early chapters tell you so much. People have argued about Genesis 3:15. I want you to have a look here, which you normally don't hear, but you hear it today. The birth of Cain. Anybody knows what his name means? I don't mind a bit of feedback. It means begotten. That's what it means. When Cain was born, the Bible notes this statement, and you find it there in the Hebrew. I have acquired, kaniti, that is, I have acquired, ish, a man, A is applied. And then this one is the personal name of God. Nobody knows how you pronounce that name, but that is the personal name of the covenant-keeping God. Vowel Jehovah. We often say Jehovah. I don't think it was ever pronounced like that. That got lost in history. But you know what it says? I have acquired a man from the Lord. And that really is not the right translation. That is the right translation. No question about it. Kaniti ish et Jehovah. This word is an object carrier in this context. An object marker. I have acquired a man who, she thought it was him, the one that was predicted, the one that was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. That was her expectation. And if you keep looking, the text says she bore again, this time his brother Abel, Hevel in Hebrew. Do you know what that name means? Nope. Somebody must remember. Vanity. He knows. Very good. I'll pay you afterwards. All right. It means vanity. Why did she call the second boy vanity? In vain. Because she thought number one was going to be the one. But as that boy grew up and developed, she could see, oh no, this character is far away from what the Lord ever would want it to be. And of course, the firstborn became also the first murderer. Is that correct? Can you see from this text that she already was hoping and longing for the Messiah? The Messiah. Let's have a look. What does the Bible say? I always believe you should turn to the Bible. The Bible is your source. That which you and I believe must be in harmony with the whole of the Bible. What does the Bible say? Well, it's very interesting. The Bible begins with the story. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night, which is a very interesting statement. The area that we're talking about is Ephrata. It's near Jerusalem. It's quite high. I live there. I know. Bethlehem. By the way, what does Bethlehem mean? Bethlehem. Yeah, house of bread, the bakery. Jesus says, I am the living bread. You see, the living bread comes down in the bakery. Where else? Get it? Okay. Now here, on that occasion when he was born, there were shepherds out in the field watching over their flock by night. That means it could have never been December.
Couldn't that be?
Because the shepherds there, then and now, still today, will never graze their flocks over their winter grass. Because they pull it up by the roots, because the soil is soggy, and they'll have no grass in spring and in summer. Get it? You won't find them do that. So clearly, it is not. And so why do we have that 25th of December business? Well, folks, it came straight from paganism. I have to tell you. And I can give you a long story of all the things connected with Christmas and where it came from. But I rather concentrate on the significance of the event of the Nativity, which did not find place, may I repeat one more time, on the 25th of December. Any other day, but not that time. Okay. Keeping watch over their flocks by night. Now let's have a look. You know, we've had some wonderful special items, haven't we? Did you enjoy them? Yeah, they were good. You know, those shepherds, they got a special item too. And as good as the ones we have had were, that was fantastic. Suddenly an angel appears and the heavenly radiance causes them to fear. And he says, fear not, you can read the story. I've come to tell you wonderful news. And then he tells them about the birth of the one that's been born. And before you know it, he tells them also where they can find him. How they can recognize him. Because these shepherds here are earnest people. They're godly people. You know, it's always puzzled me, why didn't that angelic choir, because when he finished talking, the whole mess of angels came down and they began to perform, if you like, and they were singing. Can you imagine a heaven filled with singing angels? Man, that would be something. That would be something. Why didn't they go to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who actually needed it, actually? Why didn't they go to Jerusalem? They went to the shepherds by night. They went to a bunch of shepherds. Not very important people. I want you to learn from this story. There's no such thing as a not an important person in God's books. Okay, that's it. And so they follow the advice and they come to the stable. Why shepherds? I'll tell you why. The one they visited is the ultimate shepherd. They were visiting their colleague, much younger colleague. Get it? 30 years later, he said, I am the good shepherd. And so here they are, and I like the setting. I love that painting. I think it's beautiful. The reverence is clear. And they were overjoyed, and they went about telling everybody about the wonderful birth of the one that they have been longing for. You know how many of them took notice? Not many, there were only shepherds, you see. And so, they were overjoyed. They had the honor of the angelic choir that was sitting there like a star, like a blob of light right up there in the atmosphere. They just came down and went up again. Went up again. And so, we come to the others that also came. The wise men from the east. There was this star. It was not a star. It was not a planet. It doesn't move like that. Cosmologically speaking, impossible. It was a cluster of angels guiding them. Looked like a star. God met them where they... You know, God meets you where you are, doesn't he? Has that been your experience? You see, so these are astrologers. Astrology and astronomy was one and the same science because that's the way it was. And they looked there, and I'm going to tell you in a minute. I'm going to tell you what that was about. But first, the prophecy there in Micah. Have a look at that prophecy. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah. And this is a very... Now, let me get my Bible out. If you have a Bible, I would like you to also have a look in your Bible. There's only a few times I'll get, perhaps the only time I'll get you to do this. They were looking for what they thought, they're looking at what they thought was a star. And as they followed it, Because they were expecting for the one to be born, the one that they had read about in the ancient Hebrew scriptures. And if you come to the book of Numbers, there is one little statement there which is absolutely brilliant. You ever heard of a prophet that could be bought? Balaam? Yeah? So he spoke all the things that King Balaam wanted to say, and he said the opposite of what he wanted to say, so it was not very profitable for him, although it was very profitable in another way. They were reading this, and they had read, in that ancient writing, they had read something very, very remarkable. They said here, in verse 17 of chapter 24, Balaam stands and he looks over the camp of the Israelites. He sees the sanctuary. The sanctuary is in the middle. By the way, the sanctuary, the temple, it's all the same. What did the temple, what did the sanctuary point towards? Jesus. Everything about the sanctuary is about Jesus. Now you have a look here. I see him, he says. I see him, but not now. He said, I behold him, but not near. This is 1400 years before his birth. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. That's the text they knew. They had studied the Hebrew scriptures, the Bible. By the way, if you want to really assess, know, and understand who came, you need to read your Bible too. And you get a clearer picture of the one that came. I love the statement. If you turn back over the page in the verse 21 of chapter 23. It's something so beautiful. You know the story of the Israelites. They're in the border of Moab. They're about to enter the promised land. And this King Balak is having kittens. Because these people are connected to an almost such a powerful God. And he wants his Balaam to curse them. And this is the best he can come up with. Verse 21 of chapter 23. He, God, has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. Now, if you read the story, you know better, don't you? But you see, they've forgiven. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of what? A king. They knew it was a king. They knew. And I tell you what, they knew a lot more as well. I'm going to show you what they knew. They studied the Bible. Have a look. Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, who's going forth. Now, let me annoy you with a little bit more Hebrew here. Motzotav, tan means really going forth. It means dealings. How he acts, what he does. The one to be ruler in Israel who's going forth, his dealings, are from old. Mikidei means from ancient times. Now this already indicates that the one to be born would not be another human being. He would have to be God. Because his dealings are from ancient times. And to make absolutely sure, they're not only from ancient times, they are, his dealings are from ever. Why did the Jews miss that? Jesus had two problems in his ministry. One, to convince them that he was the Messiah, the Messiah, the anointed one. The other problem he had is that he was God. That was a huge... When he connected himself with the kingship of his God, I am, they wanted to kill him. But here they should have read Micah 5 verse 2. The one to be ruler in Israel whose goings forth, whose dealings, who from ancient time, from everlasting. Literally, mimei olam means from the days of eternity. He has no beginning. That has to be God. Only God is eternal. How could they miss it? How could they miss it? You know what fascinated me? We say that there were three. Well, we don't know that. The Bible doesn't mention that. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Could have been a whole bunch of them. Wise men from the east. They were wise men. You know why they were wise? I'm going to prove to you they knew exactly who they were looking for. Now that fascinates me. That book of Numbers, it was not the only scripture they studied. I'm going to prove that. And when they had come into the house, by the way, they came into the house. Now, Hollywood and David Jones have the shepherds and the wise men all together in the stable shuffling for space. Is that true? Well, they do. They do. They do. The wise men, when they saw in the distance that light, which was the announcements to the shepherds, it took them weeks and weeks before they came down. By this time, Joseph had gotten out of the stable and he had organized a house for his family. He was a carpenter. Yeah? He was a carpenter. Jesus learned a trade from Joseph. Because he was a carpenter too. Did you know that Jesus had to be a carpenter? He had to be. What is wood? Humanity. What does a carpenter work with? It's wood. He had to be a... He still is a carpenter. He's never given up his trade. He still works with humanity. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. I like this. And now you got to understand what they did, what they brought. Because what they brought was indicative of their understanding. They presented gifts to him. I want you to have a close look. They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see that? Now I'm going to put a question to you. Gold. Why would you bring gold? To whom would you bring gold? Oh, you were going to see a king. You better turn up with gold. They did. They could see, they learned from even that book already that he had to be, that he had to be a king. And then you look at the frankincense, and that's perhaps a little bit harder. Why did they bring the frankincense? No, the frankincense. You know, a priest works with frankincense, doesn't he? At the altar of mediation, at the golden altar of intercession, in the holy place before the curtain. You remember the holy place and the most holy place? Right there before that curtain, beyond which the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. A priest would use the frankincense in his ministry for those who were praying outside, who had confessed their sins. They knew he was a... You know why they knew that? I'll tell you, they must have looked up the book of Daniel. I could stand here for 20 minutes, and I haven't got time to do that, and defend why they read the book of Daniel. By the way, where did Daniel write his book? What locality? Mesopotamia. Babylon. The Chaldean. That's where they came from. They had a copy. You know, they could read chapter 7. And they could see in the judgment that he receives dominion. A dominion that is going to last forever. They could have read chapter 8. They could have read about his ministry, his heavenly ministry, the heavenly sanctuary. And that he had to be also a priest. They could have read the reason for bringing the myrrh. What is the myrrh for? Embalmment. They knew he was going to die. Did he? Oh, he most certainly did. He died at Calvary, and then they buried him. Of course, they buried him, and he was in the grave for a short time. And then, of course, he came out. There wasn't even time or an opportunity to embalm him. But they brought it anyway. I love this. The Bible makes so much sense if you just read it. If you just read it. Let God talk to you. Because he wants to. You should read your Bible. And so, what does it mean to us now? It's remarkable, really. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, what does it mean for us today? Here we are, city of Sydney. That beautiful big coat hanger. It's going to be lit up in a few days. And that's how we celebrate one year and to another. Looking at 2012 and what will it be like. Didn't 2011 go quickly? What does it mean for us today? You know, it means everything. Sometimes in your outreach to people, and we do outreach. Actually, and I must mention this. For those of you young people here, and that is not just me, but there's a few more that I've seen. We do this AYC. Adventist Youth for Christ. It's a fantastic, it is an incredible initiative. It is when young people are on fire for Christ and they are willing to pour out all their energy and their effort to learn about Him, to share about Him, and to apply it in their lives. I think that's a wonderful thing. Because I put it to you that those young people have a very good idea who was born that particular day. And so any of you, you should join. And it's only a few months away. It's in fact on the 2nd to the 5th of February. It's a bit of a commercial, but here it is. You would be most welcome to still join. A number of us are going there. What does it mean for us today? Well, firstly, you got to look at what He's doing for you today. Where is that little clicker? There it is. Why didn't you tell me? Okay. That's a sign of getting older when you forget things, you see. I hadn't forgotten. I'm just trying to be funny. You know I wouldn't. Jesus today is your priest, your mediator. He also, and I must go back because that one came on far too quickly. He also is your judge. Do you know that all judgment has been given to Jesus? And in the Hebrew legalistic system, the judge and the advocate were one and the same person. When they dragged you before the court, you would find that the judge became your lawyer. He would defend you. Unless, of course, the evidence was overwhelmingly against you and he had to pass judgment. He right now, there in heaven, is really pleading your case. In fact, there's another thing you should know. As true as he came the first time, and he did, he's coming again. Soon, true. This is where, yeah, this is it. It's a matter of being ready, isn't it? You know, you can't be ready unless you know who he is. Unless you have the right expectation. I know what I need. You know what I expect from him? I need forgiveness. We all do. Look back sometimes of my life. I don't know why I do that. And you think, why did I do all that? Stupid. Why do we do things like that? Whatever. I'll leave you guessing. I'm not going to start that. You'll be here till 8 o'clock. I'm just saying. I need forgiveness. I need the Lamb of God in my life. And born to us was the Lamb of God. I know I need an intercessor. I need someone to plead my case. I need someone to send the strength from the heavenly sanctuary through the agency of the Holy Spirit to fill me, to control me, because I cannot control myself, but I'll let him control me because he must. I need a priest. I need an intercessor. I need a mediator. And I need a king that I can serve for the rest of eternity. Amen. Hey, that's good. You know, if you know who he is, you have the right expectation. Then you one day are going to see things that you couldn't even commence to imagine. There's a whole universe out there. And you're going to be a part of it. Heaven itself. God himself. to see him and live. What does it mean for us today? Well, it's like this. Suppose you would be there and you would be informed that he was born. Well, what would you bring? What would you bring? Well, they already brought the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. So you don't have to bring that. That's okay. But if you asked him personally, what do you want me to bring? You know what he would say? Oh man, the very words. Bring yourself. Because he wants you. That's why he came. That is the very reason why he came. The one that you are looking for is the one that you need. Folks, we thought, what do? We give these people a bit of a feed out there, and we do. And my wife tells me, and I always do what my wife tells me to do. See here. I'm lying. We have a little gift, and we thought it might be nice. A little shrub. It's a native one, by the way. It grows big. A bit like him when he was born. Do you know what I mean? It can grow into a mighty tree. And there's a text here, and there's a text here. And I'll just have a look, see which one this one is. There's a text in every one of them. God is love. Is that true? That's it. That's love. He did. Man, did he show it. Not to mention Calvary and Gethsemane. We want you to have one of those because I hope it grows, and every time you look at it, you think of fountain. Yeah? It's a novel idea. We could have had some to eat. Yeah? This is different. I hope you take one because there's one for just about all of you. And that as you take that, yeah, there's a lot of work gone into this. My wife, once she starts things, she doesn't. Don't I know it? Yes. The story is this. The one that was born, came to express a love so hard to fathom. And he came for you. There is not a single person in this auditorium for whom he didn't come. And you just have to go and see him. You still can. You just have to get on your knees, that's all. Yes. You just have to get on your knees. And you'll see him. And you'll see his love.